chained, waiting the day of judgment. So, if these angels that left their position of authority, God even locked them up, let me tell you, God's in control. You don't have to be afraid of nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control. And all power in heaven and earth been given to him. All power. He is in control. And so if he's in total control and he's your daddy, and if you're serving him and you're putting him first and you're doing everything he says, then no devil of hell can attack you without his okay. In fact, I don't care who you are. No devil of hell, no demon, no spiritual wickedness in the heavenly can attack you unless God says okay. We can go all the way back to the book of Job, and we can find there where God asked Satan what he thought about his faithful and trusty servant Job. And Satan said, well, he ought to be faithful and trusty. You've built a hedge around him where I can't touch him. Well, God will build a hedge around us and protect us, and he will send his angels and give them charge over us so we're not attacked by the enemy. But there will come a time due to sin, and although the scripture in the first part of the book of Job says Job was a perfect man in all his ways. But we find out when we get over a little further about chapter 30, 33, on past that, we find out there's a little guy comes on the scene that tells us what Job's sin is. And it's pride. And he's got it bad. And of course, the scriptures tells us about that in detail. But other than that, Job was a very, very good man. And he walked with God. But he did have this problem of pride. So, you see, there's always a reason. And God, without a reason, does not allow the enemy to attack us. Just like Job. You know, Job had a problem in his life, and God knew it. And, of course, he allowed the enemy to attack Job. And, of course, it was devastating. The devil killed Job's 10 children. Now, there's many of us today that have lost our children or whatever, loved ones, wives, kids, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, you name it. And it's always been because God has released the destroyer to do it. I mean, until God says it's ready to come home, you ain't going to come home. He is in total control. So you don't have to be afraid. Don't have to be concerned. All you got to do is know that you're a child of God. Know that you believe in the Lord. Know that you read his word. And then when the enemy comes to you and he attacks, and he will be coming to you, but you do not have to yield to this beast. You can take God's word. And just like he says in James 4:7, submit yourself to God. Now, what does it mean to submit yourself to God? It means to walk in obedience to his word. Submit means to obey. So if God says, love everybody, love them, hold no grudges, pray for those that despitefully use you, and don't talk evil about nobody, don't grumble or complain about nothing, but in all things, by thanksgiving, worship and praise the King. Hey, if you read the word and do what he says, worship him and praise him, and be thankful in all things, hey, you can overcome your test. You won't have to walk around the mountain 40 years like the Israelites did. They disobeyed. And the scriptures clearly says, those people that he brought out of Egypt, all of them, besides two, died. And none of the people that died in the wilderness inherited his rest because of their disobedience. Isn't that amazing how he brought all of them out of Egypt, and none of those that was out there in the wilderness that disobeyed, none of them got to enter into God's rest. None of them. Even though he spent all that time and effort bringing them out of Egypt, still they didn't get to go to heaven. They didn't get to enter his rest because of their disobedience. Well, he's no different today. He's never changed. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says, if you don't obey him, you don't do what he says, you will not enter his rest. If you're living in some kind of sin today, well, there's a lot of people out there that's in the church that's living in some kind of sin. Now then, God's the one who's going to make your decision. And a lot of those people he will bring home early. He will turn you over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. so that your soul may be saved in the day of judgment. Now then, I'll tell you a little story about a little girl a few years ago that her daddy was in my Sunday school class, and his daughter got to be about 16. And she moved in with a boy, and he was not a Christian. Well, her daddy was heartbroken over this. Of course, I would have been too if it had been my daughter. But he was heartbroken. Of course, mother was heartbroken. They came to me and talked to me and asked me, said, "We can't talk to our daughter. Will you talk to our daughter?" I said, "Sure." So I went and sat down and talked to her and the young man. He didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. He wasn't raised in a Christian home. He was only interested in one thing, and that's going to bed with this pretty little 16-year-old girl. Lust. He had a demon of lust. No two ways about it. Well, the little girl, obviously, she wanted to have sex with him. So she moved in with him. I told him, I said, "What you're doing? Sin. You can't live there." I said, "Young man, you say you're not a Christian." So I said, I don't have a problem with you, but this little girl says she's a Christian, and I'm here to talk to her because she can't live in this sin because God said in His Word, in 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 3 and chapter 6, He says, "If you defile your body with sin, I, God, will destroy your body." I said, "Yeah, honey, He'll kill you." She didn't believe that. She said, "God wouldn't kill me. He loves me." I said, "Yes, that's why He would kill you, because He loves you." I said, "If you keep living in this sin," I said, "you could very well die and go to hell." She didn't believe that either. She thought she was safe because she had walked down that aisle and made Jesus Lord of her life, or Savior. She didn't make Him Lord, but she made Him Savior. Well, wasn't long, she got pregnant. They had a little child. And then her daddy come to me again and said, "Thurman, will you please go talk to my daughter? She will not hear anything me or her mother tells her." I went again. She wouldn't hear me either. That young boy's still lost. He didn't want to know nothing about Jesus. And, of course, that's before I knew how to go to the throne of grace and come against the enemy in his life. I didn't know how to do that at that time. So I was limited in my knowledge of the Word of God. But I knew a little bit about the Word. But she wouldn't hear me. Wouldn't change. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I didn't know. I prayed for them, but I didn't really know how to pray prayers effectively back in those days. My knowledge of the Word was too limited. Anyway, I went to see them a couple of times over the next 5 years. She never would change. Started out doing this when she was 16. Well, finally, by the time she's 21 years old, she's got three babies. Now then, the third one has just been born. She's not quite 22. She's 21 years old. And she's been living with this boy all this time. And now then, with this sin that's in her life, the last time I went and talked to her, I told her, I said, "Young lady, I said, you've got three children, and God told you in His Word not to be involved in sexual immorality." And I said, "You really need to repent. Ask God to forgive you." Because I said, "I don't know what He'll do, but I know what His Word says He will do. And His Word says He will destroy your temple, which is your body." I said, "Please, young lady, repent and come back home and stop sinning." She said, "No, I don't believe what you're telling me is true, and I'm going to continue to live with this boy." I said, "You're not going to get married." She said, "No." Okay. What could I do? At that point, with what I knew, that's as far as I could go. So I left. The little baby only got to be 1 or 2 months old. A little bitty tiny thing, and maybe a couple of months old. But everything appears to be okay. This family, although they're all living in sin, it doesn't appear, the children all appear to be okay. No sickness among their children, no sickness among either one of them. So you think, well, the Word doesn't work. Oh, yeah. God's in control. He knows what's going on. They went to bed one night with the new baby, the third one. It was sleeping between them. And the next morning, the man woke up and the little girl woke up, but the mother didn't. She was stone dead. Not quite 22 years old. When they'd done the autopsy, she had a heart failure. Just think, 21 years old and heart failure. Just a coincidence, I guess. No. No coincidence. This young lady had defied God. She had told me she didn't believe when God says he will destroy her temple. She didn't believe that. But there was no way the power of the enemy could be broken in her life, because she had the door wide open to the enemy, because she was living in sin. And God had made a set of rules, and in the set of rules, he says, no fornication, no adultery, not to let that be named among my children, not one time. And then he said, if you sin, and Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, chapter 3 and chapter 6, that if we sin sexually with our bodies, that's the only sin we commit, that we sin against our own body. And Paul told us that if we do that, then God will destroy our body, our temple. Who's going to destroy it? Well, God is. How's he going to do it? He's going to speak the curse over you. And when he does that, that's going to open the door to the destroyer, the devil. And the devil knows his rights. And when he has legal right, the minute God withdrew his restraining hand and opened that up so that Satan knew he had legal claim to this little girl, God sent me, sent her daddy and mother, but she would not hear. She would not hear the word of God. And he did everything he was going to do. He sent us. We tried, but she would not repent. So it was impossible to break the power of the enemy in her life, because God had sent the enemy to destroy her flesh. You can't break the power of the devil when God sends the devil. Only after repentance. God is in total control. You just can't go in and start screaming at the devil and command him to leave until sin is repented of. Once the sin is repented of, then when you resubmit yourself to God, and after confession of sin, and make God number one, he's the holy king, and you're going to submit your life to him, you're going to walk holy and obedient to his word, then you can resist the devil with the promises of God. You can speak to the devil. He will leave your life and your healing will come. But after that, you better walk holy before God, or he will come back. So don't turn back to sin.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.